Our scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 6, 9 through 14. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to deal with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Thus is a reading for this morning.
In a spirit of Father's Day, let me begin with dad jokes. Okay, are you ready for it? Okay, let's see who will guess the right answer. There is a bird that Noah regretted taking along on the ark. What is it? What bird is it? Woodpecker. Makes sense, right? Makes sense. The second, where did Noah keep the bees on the ark? Bees. Archives. 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 Got it? Okay. See, I see, the kind of frustrating face of Katie. But the Steve, it looks like I needed to take a note to use it later. And the last one. Noah was the greatest investor, making money a lot, in the Bible. Do you know why? Greatest financier. Why? He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Yeah, right? Yeah. So fathers out there, if you wanted to use this, and please know that these are available on Facebook. Yeah, you don't need to take notes. Okay, like this, we know this story, don't we? Right? The story of Noah and his ark. And probably this is one of the most popular Bible stories. Yeah, everyone knows this story, no matter whether they go to church or not. Because to everyone's ears, this story sounds absorbing, interesting, very catching. What? A flood wiped off the whole world? Wow. In fact, in various cultures of the ancient Near East, such a story that narrates the destruction of the world by a flood is found. It's a popular. So again, it must be so engaging that people wanted to pass it down to the next generation. That's how we know this story. Church loves to tell this story, especially to children. We love to talk to them, and we see them loving to hear this story about the animals going two by two into the ark. And of course, the rainbow, right? The symbol of God's promise of no judgments longer by a flood. As we today, actually, through a children worship activity sheet, which is available in the Narthex, church provides children with learning opportunities to enjoy coloring the ark, the animals, and happy-looking Noah's family, watching the dove returning with an olive leaf. I bet when you were little, you had fun enjoying the various toys and puzzles that tie in with this story. Noah's Ark. However, from now on, this story is going to be maybe for adults. This story is in fact horrible. It's not a story of mobile zoo. No, it tells us all people except one family were swamped and drowned in the water. Honestly, these chapters are filled with an unspeakable amount of death. Is it okay that we simply enjoy this story thanks to Noah, and turn our eyes away from the people who are dying in the water? There is no children's storybook that shows the animals and people floating on the flood waters all over the place. We don't want to even think about those pictures. You might say, hey, Peace, why do you go in that direction? Please don't destroy the lovely coloring page. Please don't take away from me the sweet memory of my Sunday school where I had fun learning this story and singing the children's song, which I didn't learn, but I learned this time. What? The Lord told Noah there's gonna be a flurry. The Lord told Noah to build him an arky. And you might have heard preachers say that the bad luck of the people who died in the flood was the result of all their own doing. Yes, I have heard the sermons and Sunday school lessons say that this story is plain enough for a child to understand. It is that God hates sin and punished the unrepentant sinners. Bringing this to you, if you confess your sins and choose God, and you will be saved. But look at this story closely. We see no clue about whether the people were warned of the flood. Didn't Noah speak out in the street to call for people's repentance here? We don't see such things. We don't see whether Noah's sons and their wives were asked to repent before they got on the ark. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that innocent people die at God's wrath. I'm not interested in arguing if the death of the sinners was valid or not. I do believe there is a message in this story for all of us. And that message probably doesn't require the historicity of the flood. More than anything else, what this story tells us about is the heart of God. This story may not be about us, but this story is about God. Now let me tell you more about it. First, did you notice that Noah's voice is not heard in this story? But God talks quite a bit in this story. That's how this story stays focused on the process of how God changed. Yes, the flood has changed human history, but it's because it has changed God. You hear it right. I said God has changed. After the flood, God decided to follow a different path. God said that God will never again send a flood like this one to destroy God's creation. Why? First, it's because the flood didn't cleanse human beings of sin. The inclination of human heart is evil. God said this to Noah not only before the flood, but also after the flood. After the flood. Before the flood, yes, first God said this, and scripture says, the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. And after the flood, as God said, the same observation of the humans, God, this time, didn't say regret or plan to wipe away. Instead, God said, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil, the same. People were not much different after this disastrous flood. Let's start with Noah. Okay, see Noah. Of course, we read that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. But we shouldn't forget Noah was a part of the world where God saw the extent of human wickedness. Furthermore, we see after the flood, Noah appears as a drunk man, sleeping naked in his tent. And when Noah knew that his son Ham told his brothers about how his dad was just sleeping half naked, then for the first time in the Bible, we hear Noah's voice. What would Noah say? If you think Noah is blameless, but here Noah's voice is to say curse. Was Noah on the other side of all the rest evil humans? And is there a person like that? Probably. We shouldn't overly praise the righteousness of Noah, since he was such a righteous only in comparison with his wicked fellow humans. Noah was selected to be saved, not because he approved his worthiness, but because he found God's favor. God was favorable to Noah. The human wickedness, which was the very reason for God's regret and grief, and which made God decide to bring such a horrible disaster, is still real. After the flood, God couldn't say, "Hey people, you have all learned your lesson and will be good people from now on, right? And so never again will you break my heart, right?" No, no, that's not what God was able to say. What we see here includes the truth that sin cannot be waved away or washed away easily. It's not something that we can cleanse up by our decision. It's not something that God can just simply forget. See, in this story, we are told that what we do, sometimes hurts God. Human evils breaks God's heart. It grieves God to his heart. And God experienced such sorrow. But God is not going to stop being offended by our sin. God is not going to stop grieving at our sins. God is not going to stop being affected by our decisions and actions. That's what God said here in this story. And most of all, God is not going to stop finding a way out for us without destroying us, but finding a way of grace, a way of love. That is what this story is about. If you think God's purpose of the flood was to cleanse or change human beings, you may say, "Hey, it was, in some sense, a failure of God." But perhaps it was at the flood that God resolved to find a new way of engaging in human evil. And this way, as one commentary says, these chapters from the very first part of the Bible are like a big red arrow pointing us to the cross of Jesus, new way that God adopted. That way, perhaps the conclusion of this flood story is best described on a much later page in the Bible, Romans chapter 5a. God proves his love for us this way. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not we die by a disaster, but Christ died for us. God's new way of engaging with human evil. Here then, I remember one story that has been passed down in Spain. This story is about a father and his son. The son is named Paco. Paco was an extremely common name in the Spain of that time. The father and the son had been estranged for some reasons. As a result, Paco, the son, ran away from home. Then he found himself wandering the street of the city Madrid in Spain, hoping to start a life without his father. But Paco's memory of his mistakes and guilt over what happened blindly drove him to this one-way street, which is called the despair. Meanwhile, his father first was angry and now desperate to reconcile with his son, followed the son to the city, Madrid. There was a little to no chance that he would be able to find Paco by wandering from place to place in the city. So he finally decided to do something. This time it is to put on an announcement in the local newspaper with a simple phrase, "Paco, meet me in front of the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." The next day, at the time of the meeting, when Paco's father got to the meeting place, he saw hundreds of young men with the same name waiting for their fathers, all seeking forgiveness. Judgment made people run away, but forgiveness bring people in. That's what God learned. Again, would judgment change a person? The flawed story in the book of Genesis says that God maybe first thought so, but it seems that the flood as a means of judgment had effected no change in humankind. Instead, it's clear that it has affected an irreversible change in God. So God decided to put with this state of human evil, and God also promised to stand by us. This entails the self-limitation regarding the exercise of divine power and freedom. This entails the cross regarding engaging the evil of the world in a new way. But God chose it. God continues to choose the grace of forbearance and forgiveness. God continues to choose love over destruction. Again, God knows that this choice is costly. And this is the reason why I still love to tell this story, old story that tells us the central nature of God, grace. Grace. That way I can say this is a rainbow story, not because this story has a profound teaching about welcoming the LGBTQIA people, but this is a rainbow story, a story of hope for all of us. Conveys God's voice telling us, "I won't leave you. I'd rather open up my heart to the world." Today is a Father's Day and also Juneteenth, the day they celebrate June 19, 1866. When enslaved people were finally free in the westmost Confederate state of Texas. I once heard a theologian say, "A true miracle of God is the existence of the black church." Black slaves didn't give up hope. They must have found the post-flood God who decided to take the route of suffering, endure a wicked world, and bear it there for the sake of the better future, the future for themselves and for the world. Yes, the cross of Jesus does what the flood couldn't do, the change of human heart. The change of human heart. Therefore, let us tell this story continuously to the world, to the people who needed to be assured that our God is not a God of judgment, but a God of grace. Perhaps this story is for you this day. As you look for a power of grace, a grace that changes your heart, then tell this story to your heart and rest assured that God's grace has a power to make changes in your life and power to keep your hope alive and give you shelter in God's place. Picture in your mind, God's rainbow is over you. God's rainbow is on the cross of Jesus, because hope must rise upon us, because God's grace is available to all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.